Welcome to the DTC podcast.
To, in a way, do your own thing if you choose to.
Welcome to the DTC podcast. I'm Daniel Finley. I'm here with Dr. Tom and Professor Steve. We're the three instructors for mechanical engineering PE exam with Dr. Tom's classroom. We're excited to bring to you a topic that's very important, and this is which exam to take. Now, this begs the question that you already know that you want to take mechanical engineering for the PE exam. You've got a mechanical engineering degree, you're working in a mechanical engineering position, and you go to sign up for the PE exam, and you say, well, there's three choices. What do I do? For most of us, most mechanical engineers, you're going to look at those three options and say, oh, it's obvious which one I'm going to pick. This is what I do. It's in my title. Many, though, may not be obvious. And there's an exam strategy here about which exam to choose. Your PE license is not going to say which discipline, sub-discipline within mechanical engineering or even mechanical engineering. It's going to say professional engineer. Yes. The goal is to pass the exam. Let's get you past that PE exam. This advice is really going to help you with that because it's about understanding those references and making sure it's the right exam for your background. Not necessarily exactly what you're doing now, but taking into consideration what's going to give you the best opportunity to pass the exam. That's the goal of Dr. Tom's classroom. That's what we're going to do for you here today. We're going to hear much more from Dr. Tom and Professor Steve. They're going to talk through their specialties and walk through whether or not their specialization and which of these three exams is right for you and help walk through that decision process. We've also created a great flow chart to help you walk through this. So we've organized in a way that hopefully is going to quickly get you those three choices, because what you want to do is there's no flip-flopping. There's no studying for a month and then saying, oh, maybe I'd be better in another one. Nope, you're picking one, you're going to stick with it, and you're going to pass the exam. So that's our goal in this discussion, get you to that point, have you have some confidence in your choice, and you're moving forward with preparing for the exam. So which PE exam within mechanical engineering? The first question we're going to give to you is, are you familiar with Shigley? Are you using the mechanical engineering design from Shigley? Take it away, Dr. Tom. How does this help us choose?
Thank you, Daniel. Yes, indeed. The Bible of the MDM exam is Shigley. In fact, it used to be just the author. Now it's Shigley's mechanical engineering design with it. It is the one thing that you probably have a copy in your car and at home and at your office. All three of those particular ones. I remember in my first job, I had a bachelor's in aero, and then went off, came back, got a master's in engineering mechanics, which is the science of that, but not machine design. So, in my master's project, I got a job with Scientific Atlanta. Okay, so my first project was something on gears. I don't know what it was, and I asked my office mate. I said, "Well, where do you find some information about this?" You know. No Google. Okay. No Google. He says, Shigley. And I said, Shigley? I had never heard of it because my degree didn't have it. So at lunch, I went to Georgia Tech bookstore and bought me a copy, $10, which, of course, this one is a lot more with that. And that was it. That's what I used. I used it for all of the design, had it all the time with me. When if I moved, it came with me in the car. If you are familiar with that and you use it every day, then that's your exam. There's just no other decision that you need to make is that particular one. Okay.
Great. MDM, machine design and materials. So we're going to, if we use that, that acronym MDM, machine design and materials, is what we're talking about there. And so the first decision is pretty easy. If Shigley is a new name to you, you've never heard of it, never seen the book, then no. MDM is no. Probably not for you.
Because there's a lot, the machine design and materials has a lot of different topics, like say gears and bearings and this and that. I mean, just you got a list of 20 or 30 things that are all in Shigley, but if you haven't got it, you haven't seen it. So that's the key, is you got a lot of things to learn if you pick it and you don't know Shigley. You got a lot to learn.
Now, Professor Steve, we'll come back to you in just a minute, and you're gonna play a big role in the HVAC side. But before we get there, it's really saying the question is, do you know HVAC? And if the answer is no to that, then And the answer was no to Shigley for the machine design and materials. What do we do next, Dr. Tom?
Yep. If it's clear, if I've talked you out of the MDM, the question is HVAC an option? And for most people, that's pretty, in a way, it's an easy answer in a way. And so, I'm not going to go HVAC. Okay. So if it's no to MDM and no to HVAC, only leaves thermal and fluid systems, which is in a way an advantage because it only has three topics in it, only three things to kind of learn. Okay. You got fluids, you got thermo, you took thermo one and two, and you got heat transfer, maybe one and two with it. But you have a limited amount, and it is really the easiest to prepare for. Even if you forgot, you say, I never learned fluids. Well, you'll learn enough fluids in our course to pass the exam, which is the goal here. Not to make 100, but to pass the exam. So if the two of those are out, then okay, here we go. We gotta talk about the HVAC. Right, Professor Steve.
Yes. And so you may still be on the fence about this, that, well, I do some things in HVAC. I know a little bit about HVAC. Do I take the HV exam or do I take the thermal fluids exam? Ask yourself this question. Did I take a college course, a senior level course on HVAC? Now, a lot of colleges don't offer that because of the faculty they have. They don't have any expertise in that area. But some colleges do. And if you took a course in HVAC, then the answer, do I take the HVAC exam, is maybe. If you had a book like this, this is the one that I taught out of. And there are many others. Bonus points if there is a psychometric chart in the front cover. Then you might be thinking about HVAC. If you did not take an HVAC course, the next question you have to ask yourself is, am I really willing to learn a lot of the basics about HVAC? Now, you may be in an HVAC role in your job, and you may be designing pipes and chillers systems and doing cooling load calculations and heating load calculations and designing hot water piping systems and things like that. And that's great. That's a big part of the exam. But another part of the exam that's important is, do you understand the fundamentals behind that? Do you understand where Q equals 1.1 CFM delta T comes from? If you don't,
Daniel, I don't know where that comes from either.
That's not my wheelhouse either.
If you don't understand that, then you really maybe ought to think about thermal fluid systems, unless you want to do work against that learning curve, and you're going to have a lot of work to do. You're going to have to learn psychometrics. You're going to have to learn cooling and heating load systems and HVAC processes. There are unique ways that the HVAC world addresses heat exchangers and other types of calculations that the regular engineering, mechanical engineering world doesn't. There are a lot of rules of thumb. And so if you don't have that HVAC course or a really good background in a variety of HVAC types of disciplines, thermal fluids is probably the way to go. Remember, your PE license just says professional engineer in most states. I took the thermal fluid systems exam myself when I took the exam. But yet I'm teaching here in the HVAC world. I have background in the HVAC world as well, but I took the thermal fluids exam because I wasn't actively.
Do you have a copy of the psychometric chart in your kitchen on the refrigerator?
No, but I have one in the bag I carry everywhere with me. And I impressed somebody with that the other day.
They have to realize that I kid, but that is an intimidating diagram. And if you don't learn how to read, you got to make friends with that thing.
And if you don't know that inside and out and twice on Sunday, HVAC is probably not for you, because the psychometric chart is the basis for a lot of what we do in that area. The course will help you a lot if you decide to go ahead and do that, but understand it's going to be a lot of studying and a lot more work to understand this material. The other question is, do you have an HVAC job? And so the answer may be no, and if that is, then okay, you could take the HV exam if you want to. I wouldn't. Because there are a lot of things in there that you really need to understand and be familiar with that you only get if you're in the HVAC world. It's not just the theory that you learned in class, but a lot of it is application questions.
You're just not picking out parts.
I'm just not picking out parts.
Component, I should
That's
say
right.
Component.
That's right. The thermal fluids exam has three or four or five classes from the undergraduate. The machine design has 3 or 4 or 5 classes. The HVC has just one class, and then it's a lot of application. And so you need to understand the application in order to do it.
How long does it take to freeze a chicken?
How long does it take to freeze a chicken? Exactly.
We kid at it, but that's exactly what it tells you to do.
Exactly. Are you aware that there's a latent heat for freezing chickens? Chickens have a latent heat of fusion. That's one of those things you learn.
I can't wait to tell my wife that. What's our latent heat of our chicken tonight?
But if you're working in the
HVAC, I laugh about it. But again, that's the kind of thing you've got to know.
Absolutely.
If you don't know that, then
absolutely.
This may not be the choice.
That's absolutely right. If you are working in the HVAC world and you had an HVAC course, or you're willing to put the time in to learn basic HVAC, and that may be going to a college or community college and learning, and that's a certainly acceptable way to do that as well. Then maybe you are ready to take the HVAC exam. I would certainly look at the NCEES site. They have some practice exams. I'd look through those questions, particularly for the HVAC, and say, does this look familiar? Do I understand what they're asking? Not can I just calculate it, but do I understand what they're asking and where this all comes from? And so we get a lot of people who think about the HVAC exam, and then you look at the material and you say, oh, wow, this wasn't quite what I was expecting. And so the HVAC exam is kind of a specialty exam, and so you really need to be ready for that. So if not, no problem taking the thermal fluids exam.
Yes.
Because you can practice engineering anywhere where you have the education and experience.
Very well put. I mean, it's important. We get a lot of, this is one of the things we get a lot of questions on, and people who choose it who probably shouldn't have chosen it.
That's right.
Now, you said something earlier, Dan. Yeah, when you start, you can't just keep starting and stopping and whatever. Now, we do have people who, you know, choose the HVAC, take it, don't pass, and come back and take the thermal fluids. We work with them on that. Or maybe they we'll have them help them go take a course in this. But it's going to be a lot more effort than they think. It's going to be like you might as well get a master's with the kind of time you're going to spend doing this.
That's right.
You're better off just to do the thermal fluids.
That's right.
and be done with the PE, then spend that time on a master's. That would be a much, much better use of your time.
Yeah, we want you to be efficient with your time. And it's heartbreaking to make it that far and prepared and take the exam and at that point realize you don't have the background necessary to pass that exam. So we hope this video is going to be helpful for you and this information is going to be helpful for you. And Dr. Tom, Professor Steve, thanks for talking through your specialty areas and explaining some of those nuances. And make sure from the beginning you have the right exam. That's what
yes.
we really want to do.
Yes.
And if you're looking for a prep course for the mechanical engineering PE exam, we hope you'll come to Dr. Tom's classroom and we'll prepare you for that exam. And I look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
Dr. Tom's Classroom, your best chance to pass the PE.